So if you would please turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse number 20. One man said, I want to reach out of the archives tonight. That's what I feel the Lord's put on my heart for somebody in this congregation. The word of the Lord says in Proverbs 1, in verse number 20, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of concourse. In the openings of the gates in the city, she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scornings, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out mine hand and no man regarded. But ye said it not all my counsel. And with none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all, A-L-L, all, my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. The Lord says they'll be filled up with everything I told them not to run to. When God Almighty said, don't do it, don't go there, don't say that, don't act like that, don't look at that, don't listen to that. And they looked back at a living God and said, I will. There comes a place where God says, fine, have it your way. Have a belly full of what I told you not to have. And there does come a place, church, where God allows man to go his own direction. In a season of prayer today, I fear that someone in this house tonight is on the edge of going your own way. I want to preach this tonight. If God had helped me and the Holy Ghost had anointed me, I want to preach tonight on when wisdom's invitation becomes indignation. Would you please lift up your hands to heaven and help me pray? And let's pray believing in faith, church. Come on, God, I thank you. I praise you, Lord. I ask you, God, to have your own way in this house, oh God. I pray, God, move. I can do nothing on my own. But, oh God, I need the divine help of the Lord. I need the divine inspiration of the Spirit of God. And I pray, God, Lord, speak through me. Rescue and reach way down, God. It's not just a happenstance, Lord, not a coincidence, but it's God's will that they walked in these doors. And with the collective prayer of every believer underneath the sound of my voice, I ask you, God, to rescue. I ask you, God, to set free. I'm not praying by myself, Lord. You said if one could put 1,000, two would put 10,000. We're praying together, Lord, send your help in this tabernacle tonight. And God, we ask you to have your own way. For it's in Jesus' holy name that we do pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Beloved, hear me tonight. When one speaks of the wisdom of God, or the one speaks of the voice of God, one is referring to the very wisdom of God. They are synonymous terms. When the Bible speaks of the wisdom of God, it speaks of the voice of God. And for one to shut their ears to the voice of God is one to close their heart to the wisdom of God. If one says, I will not listen to the voice of the Lord, I can assure you what they're saying is, I will not listen to the wisdom of God. There in Luke 11 and 49, therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles. When those men spake, that was the wisdom of God speaking. When those preachers preached, it was the wisdom of God going forth. When those apostles cried, it was the very voice and wisdom of God going out. And for one to neglect the voice of God, for that man or woman to neglect the wisdom of God. When one says, I will not listen to what God says, he opens up his heart for every form of deception underneath the sun. I can remember years ago now, I was there at an airport and we was about to leave for Africa at a missions endeavor over there. And there was a man, in fact, he was going to Africa as well. And we were there, if you know anything about airports, you have to get there 2-3 hours in advance. And sure enough, we've got plenty of time to spare. Strike up a conversation with him. How do you do? Small talk, so on and so forth. And he told me, he said, well, I'm going to go over here and yonder. Okay, well, I'm just going to say, I said, I'll just sit right by this gate. And whenever they call my name or that flight, I want to make sure I get on. I'll see you there. And sure enough, I don't know where the man goes, but he goes off someplace, I don't know where, but I'm sitting there. Hours pass. I never do see him again. And about that time, they call for our plane to be able to start boarding. I'm looking around, and I don't see that man at all. I'm wondering, where could it be? What's it doing? I get on that airplane. That plane takes off for the Bartee, but the man never comes on that plane. You say, well, Brother Zane, how foolish it is for a man to go to the airport, for a man to go to the security, for a man to check in, for a man to be right there and still miss his plane. Beloved, if you think that's foolish, what do you think about a man that would even walk in the house of God? He even would sing the songs of Zion. He would hear the preaching of God's word, but he'd never turn over his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's there. He's right there. He's so close, but yet he misses it when it's plainly hearts that have been in this thing. I'm not talking about a newcomer. Great God of heaven, I'm talking about somebody. And this ain't your first message. And this ain't your first go-around with it. And this is not your first time that God's ever put his hand on it and said, stay away from it, leave it alone, and don't even get close to it. But somewhere inside of their heart, even though they hear the message, the heart never receives the message. God help us tonight, friend. Genesis 6 and 3 said, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. He can be in the house of God. He can be around it. He can hear it. He can even function in some part of it and miss God Almighty. You got to understand, Brother Prescott, when I was a real young preacher, I'm a young preacher, but not a real young preacher. But when I was just starting out in ministry, you got to understand how naive I was. I actually believed that if anybody dared function in that church, I mean, if they got up on this platform and sung, I mean, if they did some form of ministry somewhere or another, they just had to be living, right? I mean, no way could they ever get up and function in church and not be living, right? But beloved, I've lived long enough now to tell you, I've seen them with tears run down their cheeks, but they can't wait to get out the door and go back to their sinful ways. Hey, beloved, you can pull one
discernment over on Brother Zane. You say, well, Brother Zane, you need more discernment. Pray that I get more discernment. But friend, you'll never, no, never, no, never, ever be able to deceive an all-seeing, all-knowing God. Can you say amen?
And where men can play games in the house of God and pull it over a pastor's face and pull it over an evangelist's eyes, he will never be able to pull the wool over the Almighty God of glory. God help somebody tonight. I'm telling you, there's a merciful God that's inside of this house. There's a loving God that's inside of this house. But I want to remind you, the God of a second chance is also the God of the last chance. Heaven help us tonight. Wisdom says, you ought to leave it alone. Wisdom says, if you keep going down that road, it'll overtake you. It'll destroy your home. It'll rot your soul.
I mean, doesn't wisdom,
tell you if you keep going down that road, the wages of sin? I mean, doesn't wisdom, if they just stop and look and say, wait a second, if I continue to go in this path, that's where it's going to lead me to. That's what's going to happen. That's what the end result's going to be. Friend, hear me. There's a way that a man thinks is right, but the Bible said the end thereof is death. The end thereof is destruction. Wisdom says, turn around. Wisdom says, on a Thursday night of revival, let it go. Let it go. Turn it over. Find forgiveness. Find deliverance.
Wisdom says,
the best thing I can do with my life is just finally come clean with God. What happens? What happens when people keep going in that same direction? It gets worse and worse and worse. And friends, you hear me. And I know there may be some visiting from other various denominations, but I'll just say this, as far as the Pentecostals are concerned, I ain't never seen anybody backslide like a Pentecostal can backslide. Say amen. Why is it when it's our people? I mean, they just don't go out. They go out 180 degrees. I mean, why is it they just don't go out 50%? I mean, man, they get crazy wild out there. Why is it, friend, that when a Pentecostal backslides, they run as hard and as fast as they can?
Had a preacher tell me, said God put it on his heart to go to a maximum security prison in California. It's a maximum security prison for women. He said, God, I'll never be able to get in there. Lord spoke to him, said, you go, I'll open up the door. He was able to preach in that maximum security prison. And he said, 9 out of 10, no less, came up to him, didn't just say, I've got a church background. They would always say, I've got a Pentecostal background. My grandma took me to such and such church. My grandma took me to such and such Pentecostal. Beloved, hear me today. If you don't think the devil's got both guns aimed at every one of our holiness young people, you better get your head out of the dirt. Or Brother Zane, they ain't got the same problems as the kids in New York City do. You better guess again. Wisdom says, you better watch out. You better know what some of them are texting one another. Say amen, mama. Wisdom says, you better be careful about what you let those children listen to.
Wisdom says that if it sounds like rock and roll, if they look like rock and roll, that no matter how many times they put Jesus in it, wisdom says, it ain't a God. Say amen to me, somebody. God help us today. God give us some moms and dads have a look around with wisdom and say, if we keep having division in this home, it's going to breed something in these babies. It's going to put something in these children. If we keep living a double standard, it's going to manifest in the babies.
So it was that wisdom cried out. And wisdom says tonight, You don't have to go down the road that you're going. Friend, you don't have to be that one that keeps going that direction. There is a turning point. There is a stop. You know what some people are waiting on? They waiting on every condition underneath the sun to be just right. If you don't play their favorite song, if their favorite preacher ain't a preaching, and if eight people ain't praying around them, then they're not going to try to pray through. You need to learn to pray through when there ain't an organ around, and there ain't a singer around, and there ain't even another preacher around. But deep down in your soul, you say, God, if I'm going to make it, I got to pray through. If I'm going to make it, I got to get a fresh touch. That's what wisdom is. I was at church not too long ago, and I just made the comment. In fact, I did not remember making the comment until months and months later, where I went back to that same church, and the lady was there. And she told me, she said, you were preaching, and you said, if my wife grabs my cell phone, my blood pressure doesn't skyrocket. I mean, if my wife starts looking through numbers, my blood pressure don't raise. Say amen to me, somebody. I mean, if you just turn it over to her, ain't no big deal at all. Come on here, and you know what? By the grace of God, if I picked up her phone, she don't go to jittering neither. Thank you, Jesus, very much. She said in that very service, said my husband was in that service, and that was the night that I done found out, and he's texting some other lady. God, help your heart tonight, friend. It's a trap. I said it's a trap. You don't even need to get close. You don't even need to let your mind go there. You don't need to let your heart go there. I don't know why I feel like saying this, but I feel like saying this tonight, there are some ladies out there, and before they ever commit a physical act of adultery, they will commit an emotional adultery with some man in a chat room on an internet site. Say amen! And their hearts there. And wisdom says, you got wisdom says, if you don't want to go there, don't get close to it. Wisdom says, before I ever go that direction, I need to ponder the paths of my footsteps. God help us tonight. I'm really trying to reach for a heart. I don't feel like I'm doing too good of a job, but I'm giving it my best, church. Hear me, wisdom crieth without. She uttered her voice in the street. She crieth in the cheap place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city. She uttereth her words. You know what wisdom is doing? It's giving an invitation. It's giving a public cry. It's saying, hey, you can leave that life. You can find deliverance. Wisdom didn't give a 12-step program, Brother Johnson. Wisdom didn't give a patch. Amen. Wisdom didn't send them to a rehab. Wisdom said, there's deliverance for your dilemma. Say amen. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I feel like He's reaching out to somebody. I feel like He's trying to say, you can find deliverance. You can find mercy. You can find the grace you need. It's a public invitation. It's open. It's for everybody. I still believe in whosoever will. I know there's folks out there, and they've got their secret societies. Come over here, they got their little secret handshakes, little bitty dark cryptic codes, and you got to be a part of that dark evil society. You got to be a part of that darkness to know what those codes mean. I'll remind you, friend, Ephesians 5 and 11 said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Hallelujah. This is not a private thing. It's a public thing. It's open for me. It's open for you. It's open for the rich. It's open for the poor. It's open for the young. It's open for the old. Hallelujah! Like that witch had come to my office. I was there in the church, and shotgun-shaped church like this. My officer's on that side, senior pastor's on this side. And I'm there filling out some paperwork. About that time, that lady, I mean, she's standing right at that door. I look up, ma'am, can I help you? She don't look like a witch. Looks like anybody you'd see at Walmart. And she looked at me, Brother Green, she said, I keep having dreams about your church. I want you to make them stop. I said, I beg your pardon, ma'am. She said, I keep having dreams about this church, and I want you to make them stop. I said, ma'am, let me just stop you right here and say I didn't start your dreams, and I ain't about to stop them. How about that? But I got one question for you, ma'am. I want to know who got you into this. She looked back at me and said, didn't nobody get me into this. I said, that's a lying spirit. Somebody got you into it. She said, well, did somebody get you into this? I said, yes, ma'am, they did. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah! It was for everybody. They didn't look at my W-2 before I walked in the door. Say amen. They didn't tally up your 1099s. They said, come on. You fit right here. You got to understand, some of you was born in this thing and raised in this thing. Some of us didn't have that luxury. But I'm glad when I got in with both barrels, there was somebody there to put their arm around me. There was somebody there to say, Brother Zane, you fit right here with the holiest folks. I'm glad there was somebody that said, there's room for you. Hey, beloved, there's room for you right here. Wisdom is a very public invitation. Wisdom is a very patient invitation. How long, ye simple ones, how long will ye love simplicity and scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge? I'll be honest with you, friend. Wisdom's had a whole lot more patience with some folks than what Brother Zane has. Come on here, don't look at me so sanctified. There's been times I just soon wrote them off. There's times, Brother Peach, I said, they're never, never going to find help. They're never going to get help. I'll be down with Brother Craig Benner in just a couple of weeks, maybe about a month, less than a month. But he told me, he said, the church that was there, he said, one of the main reasons it was there, he said, we didn't have nothing but a tarp when we met out first. And we had service after service. And the old town drunk would get saved every single Sunday. He'd backslide on Monday and get saved on Sunday. I looked at him, I said, well, what happened? He smiled at me and said, one Sunday, it stuck. One Sunday it stuck. And it started bringing men left and right to the house of God. The Bible lets us see this classification of these people. The Bible calls them the simple, the scorner, and the fool. If we would alliterate it tonight, we could easily say the careless, the cold, the callous. Let me just stop right here for just a moment. Ain't too many of you shouting, so I guess I don't have to shout too much. The great majority of America, Brother Prescott, they're not murderers, they're not thieves, but they're very, very careless. You know the most important thing on their mind? What's going to happen with the economy? What's going to happen with my 401k? What's going to happen with my new car? What's going to happen with my new 3-story home? The most important thing they think about from one day to the next is how much money they can get in their pocket. They never stop to think about eternity. They're not murderers. They're just careless. Most important thing to them is what's happening in D.C., not in heaven, not in hell. But there comes a place where that simple man, that careless man, sits in the house of God one too many times. And he moves from being careless to quite cynical, quite cold. And then they sit in the house of God and they say, ain't no such thing as divine healing. Ain't no such thing as baptism of the Holy Ghost. Just a bunch of crazy fanatics. I grew up in this thing all my life. The other day I had a cut on my finger. I asked God to heal me. He never did. Therefore, there must be no such thing as divine healing. That's a very, very cynical man. That's a very, very cold man. He can still be reached, Brother Powers, but he's very, very cold. And it takes very, very delicate gloves to pull that soul into the kingdom. But as sure as night follows day, I promise you, if he stays in this thing long enough, there'll come a day where he's callous. I don't care what you preach. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you sing. I don't care what you do. Nothing's going to move that man. Nothing's going to move that man. It'd been better that he never heard the gospel in the first place. It'd been better that he never had his ears open to the gospel in the first place than to hear it time and again, over and over again, and build up a callous heart and would not let the power of God touch him. Friend, I've seen the careless get saved. I've even seen a few cold get saved. But I have never, never, never seen those that are callous get saved. Ever seen a callous heart get saved? I've seen them cynical. I've seen them careless. I've never seen them callous. The prudent man, the Bible said, foreseeth the evil, hideth himself. But the simple pass on, and they are punished. How does a man get to such a place, Brother Zane? I'm glad you asked. I believe Scripture can help us tonight. Verse number 22. How long, you simple ones, will you love? If you write in your Bibles, you may want to underline that word love. Simplicity. And scorners delight in their scorning. And fools hate knowledge. They love what God told them to hate. They delight in what God told them to hate, what God told them to stay away from. And there eventually comes a day where they begin to hate what God told them to love. There was a day where they loved this way. There was a day you couldn't get enough of it. There's a day you couldn't preach it tight enough for it. There's a day you couldn't, son, gun barrel, plain vanilla, shotgun barrel, wholeness, give it to them everything you got. But they started somewhere in their life to start hating the things that God said you better love. Then you know what they started doing? They started delighting in what God said you better, son. Hear me, sir. Hear me, ma'am. When you let your eyes see the trash of this world and you begin to delight, you delight in what God told you to, son. You're on your way to hating what God told you to love. I told somebody this the other day, God help me say it. Lord, if we hear of one more minister's family that absolutely gets torn to pieces, or one more preacher that runs off, somebody that's not his wife, I said, we just don't know if we can handle it. How did it get to that place, Brother Zane? Because someone started to delight and what God told you to shine. Had a man ask me one time, Brother Powers. He said, you mean to tell me if I serve God all my life and right before I die, I go out and commit adultery and I die the next day, you mean to tell me I'm going to go to hell? And I stopped that man and said, wait one second. You're not going to serve God all your life and turn around just like that and do that atrocious thing. Somewhere it's going to start right here. Somewhere you're going to start testing the waters. I'm talking to somebody, you hear me? You're going to start testing the waters. You're going to see how far you can push it. You're going to see if there's any response on the other side. You're going to test it and see, is this acceptable? How far can they go? How far will it happen? Beloved, hear me. It is a downward spiral, and wisdom says it leads to death. Friends, wisdom gives an invitation. Wisdom offers an indoctrination. It says, turn you at my reproof, behold, I'll pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Friend, for that heart that truly yearns for God's wisdom, you hear me, I stand on the authority of God's divine scripture and tell you, if you're hungry for truth, God will lead you into this truth. If you're really, really, isn't it amazing? I mean, we got people that's been saved for years, and they're still questioning whether or not they should have believer's baptism or seek for any type of sanctification. I mean, and you go to preaching on it, and they still shrug their shoulders and go, well, I didn't know we didn't believe in that. Been here how long? You've heard how many sermons? There's some folks that are using it as a good excuse not to draw closer to God. And I want to look at them and tell them, why should God give you any fresh revelation until you fulfill the revelation He's already given you? Why do you want God to give you the deep things of God when you're drowned at the shallow things? Oh, by the way, holiness, it's not the cross. Holiness is just your reasonable service. He says, if you'll repent, He says, I'll give you that revelation and make known my words unto you. He'll give you the reliability of the Scripture. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Am I boring you tonight? He offers a man an invitation. God offers a man an indoctrination, a teaching, if you will, a leading of His Word. But if man refuses, if that lady refuses, God's Word says there's a terrible, fiery indignation. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about God being angry? Have you ever thought about the same Jesus that people paint portraits of? A little sheep hanging over His shoulders. The same Jesus that little children come up and sit in His lap. The same Jesus that reaches down and touches a blind man's eye. The same Jesus that softly tells a man, take up your bed and walk. Is the same Jesus that becomes indignant when men harden their hearts to Him. Same Jesus that becomes indignant when men look around and they say, I'm the exception, not the example. I just feel like telling somebody, you're not the exception. Your circumstance does not exclude you from the authority of God's Word. But Brother Zane, you don't know my personal situation. You don't know the heartaches that I've been in. You don't know what I've been through. There was a pastor that told me one time, there's a man that come into his office and he's given him every single reason why he's going to leave his wife and marry some young little thing. And I mean, he goes on and on and on. Pastor said, I just sat there for 15, 20 minutes. I'm listening to the man. Finally, I look back at him and say, well, listen, let's just see what God's Word said. And he puts a Bible on his desk. That man slams his hand on the Bible and said, I don't care what that book says. I don't care what it says. I don't care the consequences. Wisdom says that's a foolish decision. Proverbs 1 and 24. Give me a few more minutes and we'll close. Because I have called and ye refused, have stretched out mine hand, and no man regarded. God stretched out his hand. God stretched out his hand. But ye have said it not, all my counsel. You looked at God's wisdom and you said, that's foolish. That doesn't satisfy my appetite. And with none of my reproof. Because that public, pressing, patient invitation is swept away. Verse 26 says this, I will laugh at your calamity. Oh God. I will mock when your fear cometh. There's a time when the scorner becomes scorned. There's a time when the mocker becomes mocked. Why is wisdom laughing? Because it fulfills Galatians 6 and 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, somebody say it, that there comes a place where God says, when you're in derision, I will not heal. I will not help. I thank God for a God that heals. I thank God for a God that brings up. But there are certain people, the Holy Ghost has spoke to me and said, do not pray for their healing. Don't pray for their healing. I prayed, God, let your will be done. Let your will be done. But don't pray for the healing. I'm there in Corpus Christi. I'm a brand new associate pastor. And there's that man we've called so many times. Why don't you come to church? Why don't you just come on? Why don't you give your heart to God? Don't have time for you, preacher. Don't have time for your God. Don't have time for your church. He goes in for simple back surgery, Brother Paul. Staph infection sets in. And I go visit him. He's got a gauze over his eyes because he's so swollen that his eyes have begun to protrude out of his face. His thumbs, just as big around as probably three of my fingers, if not four. They put a sheet from his neck all the way to his toes. And once a day, they remove his intestines and clean off his guts from the bacteria and put it back in that man. He's got a tube running down his throat. And that monitor with that heartbeat. Choo, choo, choo. I come close to him. He can't see me, but I can see him. And all I say to him is, sir, you remember me. My name's Zane Estes, associate pastor at Corpus Christi. Come by to visit and pray with you. That man can't move a muscle, but that heart monitor jumps three times as fast. That heart pounding. He knows. Same man that said, I ain't got time. He knows. He knows. Verse 27, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when your distress and anguish cometh upon you. Friend, you don't have to have a Hurricane Katrina come by your place like it did our place. All you've got to do for your world to turn upside down is just the sweet presence of God remove Himself from your life. God doesn't have to send you storms. God doesn't have to send you financial difficulty. Just take His hand off of your life. I'm closing. What do you think it was like, friend? What do you think it was like? Whenever that man, I don't know where he was. I don't know what he was doing. Was he reading a paper? He was sitting down, maybe having a little something to drink or something. I don't know what the man was doing. What do you think it was like when it struck him? It's supposed to be on that plane. What do you think it was like whenever that crowd that was supposed to visit him on the other side? Reckon they had signs. Reckon they said, "Welcome home! We love you! We missed you!" I don't know, you think maybe Sister Judy, they're waiting and they're going, "Is that the plane? That's the plane. Is that the one he's supposed to be? That's the one he's supposed to be on. He told me he was going to be on this plane. He promised me he was going to be on this plane. Do you see him yet? I don't see him yet, but he promised me he's coming. He promised me he was going to come. He said, the last time I talked to him, he said this was the plane, and he's not coming off of that plane. I tell you why, because he never got on that plane. God help us tonight." How many folks in heaven, sir, gonna say, "Has he showed up yet? He promised me, as a 7-year-old boy, I'm going to make it to heaven." Not if you don't make it right with God. Someone will help me, please. "They shall call upon me, and I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despise all my reproof." Beloved, God's brought this preacher by tonight to tell somebody there is a deadline with God. And wisdom's crying out to somebody tonight in this house, telling you it's time you come clean with God. I'm preaching my heart out at that meeting, preacher. And one night we have an absolute shout down. I mean, it was a shouter from head to toe. And the whole time folks were shouting and worshiping God, something burning in my heart, Brother Green, it's saying, "You preach, son. You preach." And there's a man, he come down about that second or third pew. He knelt down there, and I mean, the Holy Ghost absolutely zoned me in on him. Brother Johnson, I'd seen that man. He's at that pew. Just kind of got his face buried. He ain't doing nothing. And I reach over to that pastor and grab that pastor by the arm ever so softly and ask him, say, "Who's that man right there?" He said, "Why do you ask, preacher?" I said, "Because all I know is God's told me he needs help. He needs help." He looked at me and said, "You just preach tonight." I preached my heart out, and I reached for the lost as hard as I could, Brother Carter. I did. And the Holy Ghost gave out a message in tongues. And the interpretation was, "I will deal with you until the breaking of day. But yea, saith God, when the day breaks forth, I will deal with your heart no more." I felt a 1,000-pound weight come on this preacher. There was a spirit of groaning, contrition, and travailing. He never made that move. That was a long night for Brother Zane. That was a very long night for Brother Zane. I had that cell phone right in my hand. I'm laying in that bed. I'm looking up to heaven. I'm praying, "God, please let this phone ring. Please let that preacher call me and say, 'Rosane, listen, listen. I know it's mighty early, But listen, I need you to come back down to the church, man. This man's broke. He's praying. He's crying out to God. He's for real. I pray, God, let that phone ring. I got up early that morning. Set my little folding chair by that window. And I got down and started praying. And son, it was as if the Holy Ghost took me by the chin, lifted up my chin, said, look out that window. And as I looked out the window, son, dawn began to pierce. Light began to come forth. I said, it's over. It's over. The Holy Ghost said He will never deal. That's over again. The Holy Ghost said He'll never deal with them. Brother Zane, are you here to tell me tonight if I don't come down to an altar, I'm liable to get in a car wreck and die? That ain't what I'm telling you. You could live another 50 years and God never deal with your life again. Preacher, I didn't come by tonight to get him shouting, swinging from the chandelier. But I'll be willing every time to trade a shouter for a life changer. And I'm reaching out tonight for somebody. Thank you, helping me pray, ain't you? I'm reaching out tonight for somebody in this house. I don't know when your last time may be. I'm not saying tonight's your last. All I'm saying is the presence of God is in this house. And He's reaching out to you with a public, open invitation and asking you to come and make it right with God. Come and make it right with the Lord. Come and turn things over unto God and say, God, I'm not going to dabble with it. I'm not going to play games with it. I'm not going to get close to it. I'm not going to see how close to the line I can get and then try to jump back. I'm not going to do that. I'm coming clean with God. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. You're in this house tonight and you know everything's fine. Everything's right between you and Jesus Christ. You know your sins are under the blood. You know you've been forgiven by the grace and mercy of God. You know by His goodness you're on your way to heaven. If that's you, I want you to slip up your hand to heaven and say, that's me, preacher. I know that I'm ready. Keep it up for just a moment. I know that I'm ready to go. I know that I'm ready to go. You can put your hand down. Now for that woman, now for that man, that for whatever reason could not raise your hand. If I got down on my knee, would it make a difference? I mean, if I really got down on my knee, come on, son, great God of heaven, I'm reaching. I need some folks help me pray. Brother Peach, would you come? Brother Paul, would you come? Come on, Brother Johnston, thanks. Come on, son, pray. You've been on my heart all day long, my God. You've been on my heart all day long. Let this one stick. Let this one stick. Come on, some other person. Come on, some other soul. Oh, Saint, you're praying, ain't you? Saint, you're wailing out before God, ain't you? You're calling out to the Lord, ain't you? Friend, you are not the exception to the rule of God. In the same laws that apply to every other man and woman, they apply to you. The wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life. That goes for young, that goes for old, that goes for rich, that goes for poor. Savior, Savior, come on, son, pray. Hear my humble heart.
humble pride.
There's some of you in this house tonight and you've got lost loved ones. And it's time that you cry out, God, save them before it's too late. Lost children, lost family members, some of you lost spouses, lost husbands, lost wives. Pray mercy be upon them. Come on, Dave. Mercy be upon them. It's not too late. You're in this house tonight. I thank God brought you here. It's